Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It is Rich Wilson, and welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And happy Memorial Day to all of the people who live in the United States. It is a wonderful holiday that is really the beginning of the summer season. But most importantly, it is to remember our veterans and the veterans of who have given their lives for our great country. So enjoy that day, and also enjoy all the baseball that will hopefully be played, though I know there's rain entering the East Coast, so we'll see how that all goes down. It's been an interesting week. We've had a trade that we're going to talk about. We've had injuries. It looks like Ronald Acuna might be out for a little bit period of time. What does that mean for Preston Tucker? Does he get a chance? He played very well before Ronald Acuna came. Does he get the call back? Who's the closer now in Tampa? Is the closer still Edwin Diaz? I'm assuming so in Seattle. We're going to talk to the great Tim McLeod about that and more in a couple of minutes. Before we get started, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get me on the Twitter at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361. You get the great Tim McLeod out on Facebook, just Tim, McLeod, and he will become your friend. I am sure of that. If you want to go out and support our show, you can do that a couple of ways. One is you can go out to iTunes and rate and review us. It always does help our ratings and the placement within iTunes, so that's always much appreciated. Or you can go visit our sponsors out on Prospect 361. Just go to the upper right-hand corner, and you'll see those. They are StubHub. They are MLB Shops. They are Amazon.com. And they are Steiner Sports. The way they work, they're affiliate links, which basically means we get a commission. If you go off, click those on, and go purchase anything. And usually those links stay active for about a month. I think Amazon only for a day. So if you want to go and about ready to purchase something on Amazon, go to Prospect 361, click that Amazon link, and then purchase your stuff. We would highly appreciate that. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. How are you keeping?
I'm doing well. You sound like you got a frog in your throat.
Yes, a riveting experience, Rich, but I think we got that one resolved.
Very, very good. Timmy, I am actually here on the beach this weekend. It's been nice to spend it with my lovely wife, and it's been a beautiful weekend, but the monsoons start sometime overnight. So there is tropical weather entering the United States here, the first one of the season, and it's going to be wet all over the place over the next couple of days.
Wow, that almost sort of sounds scary. Your first storm at the new home. It's been in the 80s, actually. It's been in the 90s the past couple days here, Rich. I'm sitting here in my 1970s gym shorts just turning into a puddle. It's a little warm for this old guy.
I mean, Timmy, it's TMI once again, 1970s gym shorts. Timmy, those would be the very short gym shorts.
Oh, okay. Well, they're not that short.
Okay. It's only been in recent times that they made shorts long. It was actually Michael Jordan, Timmy. I know this. Jordan, back in the basketball days, when he first started playing in the early 80s, they had really short gym shorts, and that's the way it was in the 70s and 80s. And when he would lean over when he was playing basketball just to catch his breath, he wanted to be able to grab his gym shorts to kind of have something to hold on to it. So he convinced the league and everybody else to make gym shorts longer because he's Michael Jordan. He set the trend, and now gym shorts are very long, Tim. So that is the story of how they became from short to long.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like you've covered the long and short of it.
I have indeed, Timmy. I know very few things. This I know.
Yeah, well, you're a huge basketball fan anyways. Wasn't your introduction to podcasting through basketball and Tony? Weren't you involved in a basketball podcast before baseball, if I recall?
Indeed, Timmy. I was very much into it. I was into it my whole life. Did a lot of scouting during basketball, played a lot of basketball, but baseball was always my first love. And, you know, once I got involved with the baseball podcast and the, you know, scouting prospects and so forth, I just no longer had time to do both. And I chose my my one true love, Timmy, which was baseball over basketball. I do miss it from time to time. Mm-hmm. You know, particularly this time of the year as the playoffs are going on, and they're pretty remarkable. But hey, you know, it's all baseball now, Timmy. What can I tell you? Can't do everything.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to bring that up to illustrate to our listeners that occasionally I listen, Rich. Just once in a while, but occasionally.
That's true. You know what I did on Wednesday night, Timmy? I found myself in a hotel room somewhere, no baseball game to go to. And somebody was tweeting out that the Washington Capitals game was very exciting. Timmy, and I turned over and I watched a period. Is that what they call it? A period of NHL hockey. I had no idea what they were talking about. I couldn't pronounce any of the guys' names, but I guess I enjoyed it because the Capitals won. So, and people seem to be very, very happy about that.
Well, yeah, it's a very, very weird occurrence has happened this year in hockey. It's something that is just totally off the charts, but this year an expansion team was granted to Las Vegas, and they're actually in the finals. Can you imagine if an expansion team in football or baseball made it to the league championship game or the World Series? Unbelievable, huh?
It is, Timmy, and it's actually the talk everywhere. I mean, even I didn't know the name of the team until recently. You and I talked about that.
Right.
But apparently they've got a really – is it a goalie who's really good? The last name begins with a
yeah.
Z? Apparently he's very, very good.
Yeah, a hot goalie will take you a long ways. And I haven't followed it that much, but from what I can understand, yeah, it's their goalie has definitely been a bit of an asset.
I've heard that all throughout the strip, Tim, that there is it Golden Nuggets or Golden Knights or whatever they're called? I mean, apparently there's signs up wishing them the best of luck all over the place. So it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And you know what's even more cool is the fact that Major League Baseball won't allow a team to play in Vegas.
Indeed, Timmy, indeed. It's it is remarkable, but you know, they're talking about a potentially a football franchise going out there. You know, football actually made the news this week as well, Timmy, where Donald Trump got his way, and now if you don't want to stand for the Star Spangled Banner, you stay in the clubhouse or wherever they I don't know what they're called in football. I guess the dugout clubhouse or something. You can't come out. And it's quite controversial here in the United States because people believe free speech is, you know, sometimes you speak out against what you think is oppressing governments. And, you know, the analysis I've heard is that the Boston Tea Party, you know, from the early settlers was not about tea, you know, Rosa Parks, it was not about the bus. And in football, it's not about standing for the singing of the Star Spangled Banner. There's something else going on, and it appears that argument is lost with some other people. So that's quite the controversy going on here, Tim.
Yeah, I've been sort of following it, but you know, I've given up for the most part on American politics, Rich. I used to post a fair bit on my Facebook page. I've pretty well totally given it up, and in place of it, I've come up with something that I think is more important and more meaningful, the pun.
And it is brilliant, Timmy. By the way, I didn't mean to be political on that. I was just stating a fact that
no.
The two different sides. I don't really care. But
I'm sure at that stage too, Rich.
Tim and his puns. He wrote one this week, a retweeted one, which, Timmy, it made me laugh. It was so stupid, I literally laughed out loud. It was about the missionary who was on his African – I'm going to probably screw it up. He's on his African mission trip, and he is deep in religious, you know, context, and he is reading his Bible, When up comes a lion sitting next to him, he is fearful for his life. He doesn't know what to do. He starts praying and nothing happens. Another lion comes up and sits right beside him otherwise, and he gets very, very nervous and starts to say that God is challenging his faith, but he continues to read his Bible and realizes, Timmy, in the very end, that nothing's going to happen. As soon as he thinks that, the lions devour him. Nothing is left of the missionary. And, of course, Tim says, and the moral of the story is what, Tim?
You simply can't read between the lions.
I know. You know, I'm engrossed in this. See, I read it because I can quote the story pretty much.
I was engrossed in this stupid story.
And I get to the end and I just start bursting out laughing. I've got, this is so stupid, it's funny.
Yeah, you know, some of those long posts, once you get into them, you sort of get hooked and suckered into the fact that, you know, at the end, Rich, it's going to be something stupid. But it's just like a car wreck. You can't turn away. You got to follow right through to the bitter end, right?
It was very, very good. And Tim posts some really good stuff. Go check him out, MCLEOD. He's just a good guy. Just keeps it light and airy. So, Timmy, how are your teams doing? I checked Tout Wars, and you're starting to look pretty respectable there.
Yeah, I'm at the stage where, I'm up into sixth in Tout. My offense is firing on all cylinders. I think I got 61, 62 points, somewhere in that range out of my offense. And I've got 20 points out of my pitching. So losing Yu Darvish didn't help this week. But what I've done is I went and I spent 260 of my $390 of fab on who I believe is going to be the closer in Tampa Bay. And I'm going to try and max out on the save situation, improve a little bit on ERA, and whip. And I'm blowing off wins. I really don't care what happens there. I'm not going to chase wins, Rich.
Yeah, was that the team you had Lucas Giolito on?
Oh, yeah, and Taijuan Walker and Yu Darvish.
Lucas Giolito, we're going to get into our sleepers and busts, Timmy, and not the ones we talked about at the beginning of the season, but just guys that – we thought were going to be good and weren't, and guys who we didn't think much of or didn't really talk about, and all of a sudden they've really blown up. And Lucas Giolito, I was just going to throw this out there, was one of my guys I really thought was going to turn the corner. He's been brutal, Timmy. His velocity is not what it was a couple of years ago. It's down from 94 to 95 to 91 to 92. He pitches, he can't pitch to like, he doesn't have the velocity to really pitch in the big leagues anymore. I mean, something has gone wrong with his raw stuff.
Yeah, most definitely. He did turn a corner. He just turned the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, it's really disappointing. And I blew it. I mean, I don't have own him on any team, but I definitely talked him up. So I feel like I led people astray. And I guess I did not scrutinize his velocity charts as much as I should have last year. When I saw him in the minor leagues, he was hitting 94 to 95, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you know, he's young to the point where you would think it would almost be mechanical and something that's resolvable. But my patience plumb wore out with his last outing, and I had him on my bench. I haven't had him active in Tote, but he's no longer a part of my plans. He's gone. He's out in the waiver wire. I'll let somebody else deal with Lucas Giolito, and I'll just try and save my game with saves. How's that sound? If everything works perfectly, I might be able to get up into the 90-plus range. So I think it's my best opportunity to move onwards and upwards.
Yeah, 4.96 strikeout per nine. 6.8 walk per nine by Lucas Giolito. That ain't getting it done, as we like to say. So Timmy, so you start to make these. Is it now the time to make the bolder moves? I know this week I am dropping some players that I had hope on this year going into the season, and Greg Holland being one of those. And even in a dynasty league, I'm stunned, Timmy. I mean, I know he hit the DL. I'm not sure it's a real DL stint. I mean, he is so bad. But there are other guys I'm just done with, Timmy. I'm just giving up and moving on. Is now the time to do that?
Yeah, for me it is. You're third of the way through the season. I generally give players until about the end of May. I try and exercise a fair bit of patience. Once it gets to the end of May, You've also started to experience some separation in categories in your leagues. And a lot of how that separation occurs, I think, also plays into how you have to move forward. Like, you know, in tote, I've got 1.5 points in wins. Okay, the most I can gain there, if things break good, is another 4 or 5 points. So I'm not going to focus on that. I'll take what I can get and work on my ratios. And I think in every league, you know, if you're behind 20 stolen bases, I think the reality has to set in that maybe you aren't going to win that category and adjust accordingly. And in some cases, you can make trades, you can chase points. In other situations, it gets a little bit tough, and you have to just sort of alter your strategy and go all in. I know the end of May, that's it for me. That's when I start formulating plans moving forward.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up wins and, you know, stolen bases. So let's say you're behind in stolen bases and, you know, somehow you pull off a big trade for like a Trey Turner. You can make up significant, you know, mileage with him, you know, and close the distance just because that's what you're going to get, a stolen bases, assuming health. But wins, I mean, who do you pick up to guarantee that you're going to actually get wins? I mean, it's such a volatile category because it is so dependent on the team scoring runs and playing good defense. And you can't guarantee that Max Scherzer is going to wind up with 20 wins. And if he's got, you know, 6 or 7 now, that you guarantee another 30, it just doesn't work that way.
Well, no, you know, you take a look today as a prime example. I have Trevor Bauer in just about every league I own. He's pitching really, really well. The bullpen in Cleveland is abysmal right now, especially with Miller on the DL. Well, actually, it's probably better with Miller on the DL than the way he was pitching. But, you know, Bauer has, what, I think 3 wins, something like that?
Yeah,
what do you do? He had the lead today going into the 8th. Then the bullpen coughed it up again. So, you know, you have very, very little control over that wins category. All you can do is just roll with it and hope for the best.
But that was a wild game to me. I don't know if you know. They were, the Houston Astros were winning 8-3 in the 9th inning, and our good buddy Kenny Giles comes in and just no doesn't retire anybody, gives up 3 runs, and then forgot who came in next. It might have been Harris who came in next. They wound up losing that game in the 14th inning.
Yeah, no, it was a brilliant comedy of errors. How does that sound? You know, both Cole and Bauer pitched very, very well, deserved a better fate. I think Bauer had 13 strikeouts, but, you know, the Cleveland bullpen coughed it up, then the Houston bullpen coughed it up. And, you know, Giles has been pitching pretty fair, but, again, they brought him in a non-save situation. And, you know, I know it shouldn't make a difference, but I think with Giles, maybe it does. And, you know, it's like Ziegler in Miami. He's 9-for-9 in saves, and I think he's got an ERA of about 6. Okay, every time they put him in a non-save situation, he gets hammered. Put him in for a save, it's successful. I don't know, maybe I'd question putting Kenny Giles in today when they did. Maybe go with Harris first.
That's a fair point, Timmy, though Harris didn't do much better, but it's a really good point. But first of all, kudos to you for the Bauer ad and the drafting of him. I didn't own him anywhere. I didn't believe in him. You did, and clearly you were right there. And you kind of wonder if this could be Cleveland's little wake-up call, you know, beating the great Houston Astros in such, you know, impressive format. I mean, coming back 8-3 and turning it around, maybe this is something they can build off of.
Well, yeah, I think definitely they need to fix that bullpen. It's a mess right now. Losing Shaw has really hurt them. You know, they had Miller and Allen, and Shaw was a very, very dependable seventh-inning type. And, you know, he moved on, and Cleveland hasn't been able to fill that spot. I've got a suggestion for how to fill that slot, if you want to hear it, Rich.
Absolutely, Timmy, tell me.
Well, you know that I have Bieber fever in a big way.
Timmy, I don't know what Bieber fever is, first of all. Before you tell me your suggestion, what is Bieber fever?
Well, there's a pitcher in the Cleveland organization. Okay.
His name is Bieber?
Bieber, yes.
Oh, Bieber fever. I got it. Yes. I thought you said Bieber. I got it. Bieber. Okay, yeah. So Bieber comes in.
This is a PG show, Rich. Okay.
I was very. I didn't want to go there, Timmy. It was a family show, so I was not going to go there. But okay, Bieber fever. Let's get it out of the gutter here, Timmy. Bieber fever. But he's a starter, right? So who then moves to the pen?
Clevinger.
Interesting.
He throws strikes. He throws hard. He has issues every once in a while finding the plate. But unless Cleveland's going to go out and trade for somebody, wouldn't it sort of make sense if they're not going to? They've got enough depth at starting pitcher. Why not move Clevinger into the pen, even short term, to help them shut down games in the 7th, 8th, 9th, at least until Miller gets back?
Yeah, I mean, because the problem, I guess, is not in the ninth inning. I mean, Cody Allen is fine. He's doing what Cody Allen typically does, 3 earned runs and, you know, strike out an inning and, you know, 3 kind of walk per 9. That's what he does. So it's the bridge to get to Miller or just a replacement for him. It's an interesting option, Tim.
Well, you know, if I knew Tito personally, I'd give him a call and suggest it, but I don't, Rich.
Are you shocked, Timmy? First of all, what Austin Meadows has done since being called up by the Pirates, it's been really remarkable. But I was so surprised that they did not demote him after Starling Marte came back, because you know that he's burning time, Timmy, and that's just does not compute for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Man, you got to follow that program. You cannot be a Super 2, and you got to be team controlled by 7 years. And if Austin Meadows stays up in the major leagues the rest of his career, he will be a Super 2 player, and that's got to kill the Pittsburgh Pirates.
They'll get around it by not starting him until the middle of May next year, Rich. How's that?
they will probably figure it out at some point, but he's been pretty remarkable. Timmy, now, if we could just move into some of the news of the week, we'll get back to our first topic in a minute, but just while we're talking – you know, round and round on players. I mean, I know you were pretty vocal about the first trade that went down, I think, since the start of the season. Maybe there was something else that I don't recall, where the Rays sent Alex Colome and Denard Spann to the Mariners for right-handed pitcher Andrew Moore and a minor reliever Tommy Romero, his 15th round pick. You know, it's a little short guy, kind of throws hard. Tim, you were pretty pissed off about this, if I may use this colorful language.
Well, you can, Rich. I think the Tampa Bay Expos are just dumping salary. That's all there is to it.
It was bad. Andrew Moore is, what is he, a 4, maybe?
Maybe. He got smacked around pretty good, I think, last year when Seattle called him up. I don't see much more than a 3 or 4. And the bottom line is Tampa Bay moved out a closer that they had control of for another year and about $10 million worth of Denard Spann. And, you know, congratulations. You now have the lowest payroll in baseball, Tampa Bay. Well done.
So let's repeat then. So with Alex Colome not there, you believe who gets the saves going forward?
I'm all in on
Alvarado.
Alvarado. I always like to put the V before the L, but no, it's Alvarado. Yes, I'm totally all in on him. I think he's the only pitcher. You know, they got Chad Rowe and they got Sergio Romo. Sergio Romo is now a starting pitcher in Tampa Bay. And even if he was their closer, I think his effective days are long behind him, Rich. So I think he's the only option. I went
Timmy,
all
did
in
you
on
kinda, did you kind of laugh when Sergio Romo got smacked around by the Orioles in the first inning? I kind of laughed at that. I'm like, good. 3 runs given up. Good.
Yeah, it worked for a couple games. You know, they brought Yarbrough in, and he pitched 6 after Romo. And I can't remember who the other starter they brought in after Romo started. It worked for a couple of games, but it was one of those ones, where I giggled a little bit and said, it looks good on you. You know, it's not going to work. If you're trying to start a trend, that's not one to start. Hey, if you're pressed because of injury and you need to go relief pitchers, that's one thing. If you're deciding to do it, because you simply don't have any arms to throw out there, that's not the right reason. It's lame as far as I'm concerned.
So do you own Alex Calame in any leagues?
No, I don't. And the reason I don't own him anywhere is because I said prior to the season, I said to myself, self, this guy's going to get traded. He's going to end up in a setup role, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And it's worked out that way.
Yeah, it sure has. A little earlier, I think, than anybody anticipated. You just don't see trades like that happening at the latter part of May. It's just kind of weird, and it's he does get the first time he pitches in Seattle, he actually gets a save, and I think that Edwin Diaz, I'm assuming he's going to be the closer, Timmy.
Yeah, Diaz is a closer. He's pitched 4 of the past 5 days. I think he's pitched like 6 out of 7 days. He's been out there almost every day this week, so it was just a day rest for him, Rich. No concern.
So should Major League Baseball at some point, I mean, we see this in our dynasty leagues where people are trying to lose to get the better draft pick and, blah, 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 and people really get bent out of shape when dynasty league owners do that. I mean, you have to think at some point with the Pirates and the Tampa Bay Rays, and this is just not healthy for the league when you've got 2 to maybe 5, 6 teams that are doing this perpetually. It just doesn't feel good, Timmy, when 15 to 20% of your league is playing a different game than everybody else's.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I don't even think Tampa Bay's the draft picks. They're not playing for draft picks. How many of them are going to sign? If you had a kid, okay, who was a top 5 pick, okay, knowing that Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh are going to have 2 of those picks, would you go to those organizations and say, hey, you know what, guys? Don't waste your time with my kid. He ain't signing with you. He'll sit a year before he signs. Do you think that's going to start occurring?
No, because, I mean, I think the draft picks actually work because there is a budget that, they have to basically spend. And that's done by the collective bargaining agreement. So if the Rays got the first pick, it's, $6 or $7 million price tag. That's what they have to pay. I mean, that's just like the rules. You can't not say, oh, I don't want to pay that. Now you could draft a guy who's supposed to be in the 10th round, but I do think Major League Baseball would step in and go, wait a minute, this is, you can't be doing that. So I would be surprised at that. I think they're just trying to survive, Timmy, financially. And we saw this with the Marlins, the Rays and the Pirates. And, Minnesota's actually finally playing a reasonable game now. But it's just not good. This is not good. And I think the Rays, Major League Baseball, needs to get them out of St. Petersburg and get them somewhere else where they can be supported better.
Well, yeah, eventually that's what it's going to boil down. The Players Association has already brought up Tampa Bay as one of the teams that's concerning them. This last move is not going to make the Players Association go away. If anything, it's going to strengthen their position come future bargaining. And, yeah, it's unfortunate, but Florida just doesn't want to support baseball. The Marlins this year, their average attendance is reported at 10-6. There's 3 minor league teams, I think, that are on pace to break the 9,000.
Wow. I did not know it was 10,000 people. That's pathetic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but can you blame people? They put the ticket prices up and gave all the talent away.
Yeah, it is remarkable. Timmy, speaking of the Tampa Bay Rays, how about the Alex Rays? Alex Reyes, can I kind of make that transition at all? I don't know. Alex Reyes, Timmy, with the St. Louis Cardinals, is coming back from Tommy John surgery, and his first 7 innings, 13 strikeouts, I think 1 walk. He looks fantastic. Are we starting to get excited about Alex Reyes coming back?
Well, I've been tracking his rehab, Rich, and I don't know how you can't be excited. He's had 4 starts. He's 3-0. In 23 innings, 7 hits, 7 walks, 44 strikeouts in 23 innings, and he didn't allow a run, earned or unearned. In his last 3 starts, he went 5 innings, 7 2/3, and 7. He tossed a 1-hitter in all 3 games. That's sick. That's unbelievable is what it is, Rich.
Yeah, it is, Timmy. And, he's got the talent, and you know, I'm assuming there's going to be some correction. There always is with Tommy John surgery, but potentially maybe he's in better shape than he was, because that happens a lot of times where people go for Tommy John surgery, and it's actually the recovery, the rehabilitation that puts these guys into tremendous shape, because they have to be able to come back. And maybe this is going to be the difference maker for Alex Reyes.
Well, yeah, I was sort of surprised. I figured he'd be in the pen, but they're going to put him right in the rotation. So one of Weaver or Flaherty is probably heading to either the bullpen or AAA. And, hey, it's a nice problem for St. Louis to have. My gut feeling is that they'll start Reyes for maybe 4 to 6 weeks, and then they'll slide him into the pen for the balance of the year.
Yeah, that last outing in Memphis, AAA, 7 innings, 1 hit. 13 strikeouts, 1 walk. I mean, Timmy, that's stupid good.
Well, yeah, you know, he's almost, you know, he was virtually unhittable during his rehab. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody coming off Tommy John who has posted such dominant numbers in his rehab than what we've seen from Alex Reyes.
Yeah. Wellington Castile, Timmy, it just boggles the mind. I mean, that these guys aren't learning. I don't even understand this.
Yeah, I posted beef is full of bullying. How's that?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, synthetic. I think it was synthetic PED that he tested for. It wasn't like what Robinson Cano tested for. But I just don't understand it. I mean, it's do they need to make these penalties stricter, tougher, Timmy? Where you lose a whole year or something, or is this just like it's just always going to be there?
Well, I think until the penalties get to the point where they are a very permanent and potentially career-ending nature, yeah, I think guys are going to take advantage of that system. The problem is you have to be 100% sure. There can be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But if they want to solve the problem, it's real simple. First suspension is 2 years. Second suspension, you're out of the game.
Yeah, that would probably solve the problem, I think. But it seems like, you know, unless, you know, there is an accidental thing, and, you know, that, but it, maybe there is a such thing as an accidental thing. It's just being ignorant, and you've got to learn these rules. And every one of these players, except for maybe one or two, and they're usually older players, they all have agents, and these agents, they got to be earning their keep. And part of their earning their keep is making sure they're telling these guys what to do and what not to do, particularly around ingesting drugs that they get in foreign countries.
Well, and the thing is, Rich, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but every team has an orientation type day where, if I'm not mistaken, the Players Association, the league, advises players of all of these wonderful things. So it's not like they're kept in the dark. There's no secrets here. You know, hey, if somebody goes in and explains the drug policy to these players, gives them a list of what is banned, what isn't banned, then the onus has to be on the player, okay, to follow up with it. Talk to your agent. Talk to your doctor. And not the doctor, you know, that practices voodoo somewhere in the central Amazon, okay? A real doctor. And get everything down in black and white. Know what you can and can't do. And it should be a relatively simple policy.
Totally agree. Timmy, when we take this quick break, we're going to get into the meat of our broadcast. But before that, we're going to talk a little horticulturalist, Timmy. Let's talk plants.
Oh, okay.
So, Timmy, as you know, and I think all of our listeners by now know that, you know, I'll be retiring here at the end of the year. And one of the things as we prepare for that, my wife and I have bought a beach house, and we're just enjoying the heck out of living here. And when we bought the house, it was 30 years old, so it had a little age on it. And, you know, when you buy the house, you get everything, Timmy. You get the furniture, you get the plants, you get everything. And
right
in the front yard, I mean, it's a tropical area, which it's on the North Carolina coast. It's a tropical area. And the, you know, the people who originally built the house built two century plants. Timmy, do you know what a century plant is?
I'm guessing it's old.
It is. In fact, it is a type of guava plant, Tim, that it's by its name, it blooms every 100 years, thus the name century, but that's not really true anymore. It blooms every 30 years. And so the house is 30 years old. Guess what's happening with one of our two century plants, Timmy? It's about ready to bloom.
I was going to say, things are just blooming in your new household, eh?
But this is weird, Timmy, and I will post this out on Twitter, and I'll post it on my Facebook. Lori might have already done this. It's this plant, this guava plant, is century plant. It's maybe 5 feet high, and stalk has come out of the middle of it that rises to the air. It's about 25 feet in the air, and it looks like a gigantic asparagus spear. It's exactly what it looks like. And it grows about 5 or 6 feet a day. It is the weirdest thing. So you wake up in the morning and it's 4 feet higher than it was the day before. And it's just now it's sticking straight up. It's very it's very disgusting looking, if you know what I mean. And it's just sitting there, and the entire island is coming over and looking at it and taking pictures. And the funny thing about it, I mean, I knew nothing about it. We bought the house. I called up a landscaper guy and I said, look, I want all these trees gone. We're going to plant new trees. And, you know, I was telling him which trees to get rid of. This was about a month ago. And he says, well, it's going to take me a month to get to them. I go, that's okay. No worries. And all of a sudden I find out I've got this century tree. Timmy, I had to call the guy and say, you can't cut the century bush down because I'll get thrown off the island. I mean, this is like a big deal. So we've got this stupid thing sitting in the middle of our front lawn that's now about the bud. And if you look at the buds and the flowers, Timmy, they're as ugly as this gigantic asparagus spear that is literally taller than my house. It is the strangest thing I have ever seen. So I will expect your pun to come out when I post this out on Facebook, and you can comment on it.
Yes, you'll get something. Yeah, the only thing that I grow here is dandelions, and they're sort of like au naturel, Rich.
It is very, very weird. I had people today coming over. You know, I talk to them about it, make up stuff, Timmy, because I don't know anything about it. It's like hockey. I say stuff. Anything that comes to my mind, I just say it, and they go, oh, that's interesting. Yes, yes, yes. You know, and I have no idea what I'm saying.
And it's sort of nice, too, because you bought this place for the privacy and the seclusion and the beach and everything else, and now you're a tour guide.
Now, exactly, Tim. I'm a tour guide, and I told somebody, I said, it's a baseball bat, and this is how baseball bats are made. It's a guava. I sit down, and a lot of people don't know this. In South America, these things grow, and this is where they make baseball bats. And one of the women, honest guy, said, wow, that's fascinating. I didn't know that. I'm like, oh, dear God.
Uh-oh. You're going to pay for that comment at some point in time, Rich. I know you are.
Exactly. So, Timmy, we do sleepers, we do busts, we do all that kind of stuff in the beginning of the season. And I thought it'd be fun. We're a third of the way in. Let's do sleepers and busts. Guys that we didn't really talk about too much, or we did and maybe didn't think they were actually going to do it, or guys that we actually thought were sleepers and actually have really turned out to be great contributors. And I'd like two bats and two arms from you, and then I'll give you two bats and two arms. So why don't you give me the two bats first, and then I'll give you my two bats.
Oh, I overachieved again. I got three bats, Rich.
Okay.
But simply because I couldn't deny Nick Markakis.
Oh, good call.
A 340 batting average, 7 homers, 35 RBIs, drafted as an afterthought in most leagues. My second one is CJ Cron. You know, again, another player that was drafted incredibly late, 11 homers, 30 RBIs, a 266 batting average. And my final pick is a third baseman with Cincinnati, corner infielder, and only 135 at-bats, Eugenio Suarez, is third in RBIs with 40. All three of those guys you could have had in the late tens, the late teen rounds, or as reserve picks. So there's my three bats, Rich.
Yeah, I think they're great calls, Timmy. And let's talk about Nick Marquet, because I think it's the most interesting name out of that. You know, he's never been an all-star. I think there's a really good chance. Well, Freddie Freeman would definitely be an all-star there, but I think there's a good chance Nick Marquet becomes an all-star his first time in his career. The question is, can he continue?
I don't think he can with power, but you know, when you got that Albies guy at Anzacuna, you know, hitting ahead of you in the lineup, it's certainly going to afford him more RBI opportunities. So, you know, I think the power will normalize to Marquez type power. The batting average will come down a bit, but hey, you know, for the investment, I think you're going to do fine over the balance of the year.
It's interesting. Acuna has been good. He's not been great. Now he's hurt, Timmy, and they're going to tell us tomorrow how hurt he really is, which is probably not good. Let's just be real. I mean, if he wasn't hurt, they would have come right out and say it. So there's something's bad about to happen.
Did you see his stumble, Will Rich?
I did. It looked ugly.
Oh. Well, if that was me, they just would have dug a hole and rolled me over and filled it in. Like, I mean, that was a violent collision.
If it reminded me of Ricky Weeks, 8-9 years ago, where he just destroyed his ankle. And Ricky Weeks was never the same after that.
No, he actually had some speed, but lost all of it. Yeah, you're right. That was a terrible collision.
So, I mean, not to say that, you know, that's going to happen with Acuna, but I mean, it's a little disappointing, but that's when the Atlanta Braves caught fire, when he was called up. And while, you know, he's been a good, not great player, it'll be interesting. I think he gave the whole team a lift. And if he goes down and they put in Preston Tucker, who was very good before, you know, they brought up Acuna, we could see the Braves go back to what we thought the Braves were before the preseason started.
Yeah, I think they still have the pitching though, so I think they're going to be okay. It's going to hurt to have Acuna out of the lineup if in fact that's the case, but I think they got a good enough team that, you know, move Swanson into the second spot and lug away, go forward. The key there will be the pitching, and Albies and Freeman got to keep hitting.
Yeah, Freeman's been great too, and Albies has been. I mean, Albies should be considered for the best player in the National League. I mean, for MVP, he's been that good.
Yeah, that's you know, the only thing you were talking about Marquez for the All Star game, and the two big deterrents there are Freddie Freeman and Albies.
That's true. When I made the comment, I forgot about Albies. My two guys, Timmy, are Rich Wilson favorite, so I will zap it. I mean, we got to give it up for Brandon Belt. I mean, 11 home runs. Here's the slash line, Tim. 317, 418, 581. And in Mitch Haniger, almost the identical slash line of 11 home runs, 285, 373, 542. The thing that I find a little discouraging about Brandon Belt is a 383 batting average of balls in play, a 24% strikeout rate. Mitch Haniger is a 313 BABIP and a 20.6 strikeout rate. Just based on some analysis, and it looks like correction coming from Brandon Belt and maybe not as much for Mitch Haniger.
Yeah, it's Mitch Haniger is your ticket to a free meal, Rich, in a big way. I think I waved the flag on that one the first weekend of the season. I didn't even know who I had up against him. But the only concern I have with Belt is if he was really good, okay, he'd have a four-digit ops, and he's stuck at 999. What can I say?
Yeah, it's interesting. He is a very, very streaky batter, having known him in multiple leagues. Timmy, as you know, there's a guy that will hit like he did last week was player of the week, and what did he do this week? This is a guy that just, when he's on fire, man, he's the best player in the league, and then he goes two or three, 4 weeks where, you know, it's like you want to cut Brandon Belt.
I'm thinking that maybe, just maybe for once, we see a full year out of the good Brandon Belt. I hope so, because for all of the concussions and injuries and problems he's had over the years, I would love to see him get 550 to 600 at-bats, and let's look at those numbers at the end of the year.
Give me your two pitchers, Timmy, or if you've got more, give them all to me.
No, I got two here, Rich, and I I'm going to probably strain my arm here. Hopefully, I don't need any sort of therapy. Patting myself on the back because my first choice has got to be Miles Mikolas of the St. Louis Cardinals. 2.58 ERA. He's 6-0. Seven walks and 66 in the third. An afterthought, drafted late, very, very late in drafts. He's definitely been a huge sleeper. And my other one is one of the best young pitchers in the game. Another pitcher that went very, very late in redraft formats and won another game today. A 2.20 ERA, which if he qualified, which he will soon, would be the eighth best ERA in all of baseball. And that is one Walker Buehler.
I love the Walker Buehler. And I think that was something that we were both on. We'll pat ourselves on the back for that. But I was not on Miles Mikolas. Timmy, tell me his last name. Pronounce his last name again for me.
Mikolas? I always say Mikolas, but I think it's Mikolas is how it's supposed
Mikolas,
to be.
Mikolas, yeah. I was not in on him, Timmy. I remember when he played baseball in America before, and he wasn't very good. And I mean, kudos to you. I mean, he's having a. Who was the guy that came over for the San Francisco Giants, Timmy, and had that like marvelous first year back?
Texas, Colby Lewis.
No, there was another guy first, Timmy.
Colby Lewis was a relief pitcher. Okay, I know who you're talking about.
No. It was a starter, came over, played for the Giants. I mean, you introduced us to him. It's a famous guy. It was a starter. You want to bet on him?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I think I'm visualizing who you're talking about, but I just can't recall his name.
I can't either, but great call on Miles, Timmy. That's all you. I'm assuming you have him in most of your leagues.
Yeah, the only one I don't is Tote, and that's because it got to be a little bit too expensive for me. I decided I'd be better off with Aaron Sanchez. That worked out well, didn't it?
Yeah, Timmy. I mean, it's I missed on him as well. Really disappointed. Do we start to give up on Aaron Sanchez?
No, I can't. I've watched him numerous times this year. The stuff is good. The problem is he's just not finding the strike zone enough. The control just is not there right now, but the stuff is. So I'm expecting at some point in time we will see some improvement out of Sanchez.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the guy I'm thinking of, Timmy. I just can't find him. Oh, this really drives me this.
We talked about it. I recommended him to, I think when we were doing the show with Tony years and years and years
ago.
Everybody laughs at me.
Brian Vogelson.
Brian Vogelson. Thank you, Rich. Yep, that's him.
Google is our friend. I just kept typing in Giants pitchers 2010, 2011, and he finally popped up.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about that, and all I was met with was hysterical laughter from Tony especially. He gave me a hard time about that one.
Yeah, Ryan Volker's had a couple of good years, and then, he fell away, and I think he's out of baseball now. But, he made Timmy, won Timmy a bet, and won a lot of fantasy owners' leagues, including Tim McCloud. My two guys, Tim, guys we've talked about numerous times now, is Daniel Megden, again, with a marvelous outing over the weekend. The thing that I'm a little concerned on is, first of all, 2.85 ERA, a 3.25 WHIP, five wins, but it's the 5.83 strikeouts per nine. He's not walking anybody, 0.81. But that low strikeout rate has me bothered, even though the FIP is all in line and so forth. And the other guy is somebody that you talked about a few years ago with the Dodgers, and it's Kenta Maeda, who came over from Japan, pitched really well, and then they kind of lost confidence in him. He was moved to the bullpen. And now, to me, 11.72 strikeouts per nine, a 3 walk per nine, 3.38 ERA, and a 2.59 FIP. He's won four games. Kenta Maeda looks really good again.
Yeah, he does. And it's a good thing for the Dodgers because with their health issues in the rotation, they have really needed him and Buehler this year. And good for Kenta Maeda. I never failed to believe in his skills. And he's rewarding owners that had patience. Actually, after what we saw towards last year, I thought he'd be a fixture in that bullpen because he looked so good in the pen, but he's looked equally as good once more in the rotation.
Yeah, it is. And again, back to the Walker Buehler, I mean, we were pretty convinced as he was coming through the minor leagues, Timmy, he was going to be this good, and he is this good.
Yeah, I've got 8 guys on the DL, Rich, in labor. And right now I have a 20-point lead. I'm in first. And Walker Buehler is a huge part of it, along with Miles Michaelis.
Sometimes, Timmy, that's what it is. And all you have to worry about is Walker Buehler not pitching more than 160, 170 innings. And that's the fear that you've got to now think through in the second half. Hopefully your guys will come back.
Well, yeah, Carlos Martinez will be back soon. I've got pretty well maxed out except for saves and pitching, and I haven't had Martinez for 3 weeks. So as long as Albies and Trout and Mazzara and Gleyber Torres continue to produce, I'll be good.
Yeah, that Gleyber Torres, I mean, he's been on fire. He might win player of the week. I mean, he was on fire even though he got hurt. Less than sound two series. Was it 4 games in a row he hit a home run?
Yeah, I think he rewrote the Yankee record books, if I'm not mistaken, for a rookie bat. He's just on an amazing roll right now. The only concern I have, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I was always big on Gleyber Torres because I saw him a ton in the Yankee organization. I remember after you saw him in Arizona, you weren't all that big on him.
No, I actually wasn't. But then again, you know what? There was another player that I wasn't real big on after I saw him in Arizona, and that was Mike Trout. So we'll take my Arizona assessment with a grain of salt.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres can hit, man. Sometimes you can't tell if the secondary skills, the power and the speed, how well they're going to play. But, you know, I thought he'd have a little bit of speed, 15 stolen bases. The power was the thing that you thought it would be 20 to 25 home runs. You didn't know, but the thing I was pretty convinced on is he would hit. And, and the power is a little bit more real than it's come a little bit faster than I think anybody thought. I know myself included, but this is going to be a really, really good player.
Yeah. The only small concern I have, and it's a very, very petty and small concern, is, you know, he's been yanking the ball out of the park for the past couple of weeks, absolutely pounding it. When it's time to adjust, is he going to continue to swing for the fences, or does he have the maturity to take what's offered and start slapping some singles around the park, Rich?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think he will continue to drive the ball. I think I don't think he'll slap the ball around, and I think the adjustment will come. But I think he's such a good hitter that he's going to be able to get over that hump pretty quickly. And that's my opinion, Timmy. We'll see. I think you've got a good one, and I think he's going to help. And we get back, Timmy. Let's talk about the guys who have broken our hearts. All right, Timmy, give me your 2 bats that are bust.
Well, we've already talked about Chris Davis ad nauseum, so I'm not going to mention Davis, but he's worthy. Billy Hamilton, you paid 5th-6th round value for Hamilton, anticipating 50 stolen bases. He's got 9 stolen bases, a .204 batting average, a .291 OBP, and he scored 24 runs. Billy Hamilton is definitely a bust. Kendrys Morales, after seasons of 28 and 30 home runs, .250, .263 batting average. He has 4 home runs and a .179 batting average. Vlad Jr. Might be cause for him to be dismissed sometime in the next 2 months or so. And I'm going to throw one more in there. Ian Kinsler, 2 homers, 6 RBIs, and a .512 OPS out of your leadoff bat.
Yeah, I had not been following Ian Kinsler, Timmy. I don't own him on any league. But these are, you know, the threat here, at least with Kendrys Morales and Ian Kinsler, guys that are getting old, and we've seen it so many times. And Kendrys Morales, a big, heavy guy, It just did the wheels just fall off all of a sudden like this? I mean, it's not unprecedented, but it is just remarkable when you see it.
Yeah, the only positive is he pitched a clean inning the other night in a mop-up role, so maybe he's got a future in the bullpen.
Maybe so. Timmy, my two guys are just – I know we've talked about Paul Goldschmidt a lot, but it's a first-round bust. I think first-round busts need to be discussed. 184
yeah.
at-bats, six home runs, a 319, 380 – it's like a 200 batting average, a 319 on base percentage, and a 380 slug. 282 batting average of balls in play, a 31% strikeout rate. Another guy that we haven't talked about a lot is Anthony Rizzo. He's the guy at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round. Six home runs, almost an identical slash line of Paul Goldschmidt, 213, 315, 361, 213 BABIP, so at least there's some correction there, and a reasonable 13.3 strikeout rate. Both of those guys, Timmy, I would think Rizzo has a chance to correct more than Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, at this stage of the game, yeah, I think Rizzo will. Goldschmidt, I'm beginning to think that there's possibly a health, maybe a vision. I don't know. I think there's an issue that we're not currently aware of, because I just can't see anybody falling off the map that quick with his skill set. It's unbelievable. It really is.
Do you know what the team batting average for the Arizona Diamondbacks is?
Without Pollock in the lineup, I'm going to guess at 217.
So, I don't know, with Pollock in the lineup, including his stat line, Timmy, it's 213.
Oops.
So, what has changed?
With Goldschmidt or the team?
With the team. Isn't it the humidor?
Well, I don't know. Marte's not hitting anything. Peralta is come back.
Nobody's hitting. I mean, that's my point, Timmy. The humidor is in, and these guys are terrible. Guys who used to be pretty good are terrible, and guys who used to be great, and Paul Goldschmidt, are bad. I mean, at what point do we start to point our fingers to the humidor being a problem?
Well, I would say that right now, what A.J. Pollock did is still relatively fresh in my mind. And if Pollock could do it with that humidor, why can't some of these other players? I'm not ready to pin it on the humidor right now, Rich. Now, if A.J. Pollock, when he hit the DL, had one homer and a 200 batting average, well, yeah, sure. But Pollock was hitting the ball pretty good. So if he could do it, why couldn't a player of supposedly superior skills in Paul Goldschmidt, why couldn't he do the same thing as A.J. Pollock was doing?
It's a great question. It's a great counter-argument, Tim. I don't know the answer to that, but it is Paul Goldschmidt, big problem. Strikeout rates, big problem. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is it a vision problem? Is it some other type of health problem? Is he now 30 years old, a bigger guy? Is it just all of a sudden, you know, just lost it? Is he just in a slump? I mean, stuff happens. Maybe there's something going on in his personal life. We don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we don't.
It feels like, you know, the Andrew McCutchen kind of people just fall off the, you know, first round draft picks. So all of a sudden one day become a fifth round draft pick, and the next thing you know, they're in double digits the following year. And we see it happen all the time.
Yeah, I'm just thankful that let's face it, Rich, it's all about me. I don't own Goldschmidt anywhere. I stayed away from him for a different reason than that I was concerned about the stolen base numbers. So I stayed away, and I'm very thankful that I have.
I have him in one league. I'm in a dynasty league, and really slow start in that league. But, you know, I've come around, and I think I'm in second place now. And
nice.
I've got, 115 points or something. And, you know, it's a 15-team. It's our traditional dynasty league. And if I got anything out of Paul Goldschmidt, Timmy, I might be winning that league. And it's just, you know, I got nothing out of the guy.
Go grab Aguilar temporarily if he's available and see what you can get done, Rich.
Yeah, I'm thinking about just benching him, and I got some other guys that I might put in his place. So, Timmy, give me a couple of bats that have broken your heart or broken fantasy owners' hearts.
You mean pitchers, right?
Did I say bats? I mean pitchers, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with a number three in Danny Duffy with a 6.14 ERA and 1.60 whip. And a couple number twos. Luis Castillo with a 5.34 ERA, 1.45 whip. And Jose Quintana with a 4.78 ERA and 1.48 whip. Quintana, you know, 10 starts, 3 of them, 6-plus earned runs. The consistency just simply isn't there. You know, you look at Danny Duffy, it's the same thing. You know, he's had 2 earned runs, 1 with 6, 1 with 9, and 4 times he's allowed 1 earned run or less. Again, no consistency. Luis Castillo, after a horrible April, has turned it around nicely in May with a 2.83 ERA, and I see Castillo as the one bright light amongst those three. But right now, as number two and three starting pitchers, they've been huge, huge disappointments.
Yeah, we talked about Luis Castillo as a guy who might bounce back a little bit a few weeks ago when we went through our undervalued pitchers. But Quintana, I do own him in that same league, Timmy, that I'm now in second place. Imagine, again, I've got Trey Turner. I've got some really good pitchers, and I got Strasburg. I've got some really good players in that league. But Quintana went against San Francisco, Timmy. You figure, okay, it's going to be – it doesn't matter. Bad teams he pitches poorly against. Good teams he pitches good against. You just don't know what you're going to get from start to start with this guy. And quite frankly, it's since he's been traded to the Cubs, it's been this way.
Yeah, it has. And what's shocking is the fact that we saw at least 3 years where he was one of the most consistent pitchers, game in, game out, in the game. He was a model of consistency. And since moving from the south side to the north side, that consistency just isn't there.
Yeah, it's been really tough, Timmy. And owners have just got to be really disappointed in that. My three guys are Lucas Giolito was one. I don't own any shares in him. Just brutal. We've already gone through that. Alex Cobb is the next guy, Timmy. 7.99 ERAs and 8 starts already. And Greg Holland. And Greg Holland looks like the worst. He shouldn't even be in the league. He is that bad. And the thing that about Greg Holland and Alex Cobb, Timmy, both two guys, as you know, that held out and have pitched terribly. They look out of shape. They're out of pitching shape. And you just wonder if next year, if guys hold out, that they just don't get jobs because they're going to point back to these guys and go, look, this is what happens when you don't go to proper spring training.
Well, you know, you can throw Lance Lynn into that group as well, can't you?
Yes. Yes, you can. Exactly. The only guy out of that group is... The only guy out of that group has been good is Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, no, it definitely it's a very, very small sample size, but I just find it so hard to believe that a pitcher that was so totally dominant as Greg Holland was, especially the first half of last year, you know, can't pitch. I don't know what they're going to do about that situation, but it just floors me that somebody can go from being that good to that horrible so quickly.
Yeah, and particularly 2 years ago, you had the Tommy John surgery. You would expect that horribleness last year, and you just got out of the gate extremely well. And it's funny, Wade Davis is doing exactly the thing that Greg Holland did. It's this tremendous number of saves through the first couple of months of the year. It's the exact same thing. Greg Holland could have re-signed with the Rockies. They wanted him, and he held out for more money, and this is where it ended. But the only thing I can think of with Greg Holland, I mean, he's got that weird delivery. He's totally offline to the to the home plate, and it almost like he pitches back over his shoulder, and his mechanics have got to be such picture perfect. They've got to be such in line because of his violent kind of poor delivery. If anything is out of alignment there, he can't throw strikes, and the command just isn't there. And that's what it looks like to me. It's like, man, with such bad mechanics, you get off just a little bit. To me, it reminds me of my golf game. I could never swing the golf club very well at all, but if I got just a little out of whack, then I couldn't hit it at all. It was bad. But at least if I If his swing was in alignment, at least I could at least hit the ball. But once it got out of alignment, it was really bad. And it looks like that's what's happened to Collins. So I don't know what they're going to do with him, but it's just brutal.
Yeah, you would think that it would be fixable. I know if I'm going to start watching, and if I see Holland dropped and I have the room for him, and I can pick him up cheap, I'm going to grab him cheap. Because I'm still not convinced that Bud Norris is the answer in that in the Cards pen.
Well, Timmy, you will see him dropped tonight in DL2. So feel free, if you want to make me a trade offer, you can do it tonight because he will be dropped, and I'm done. I got to move on, and I'm going to be it's going to be moving on. I don't know what to tell you. I can't continue because I've as you notice in DL2 defending champ, I have come back. I've got I'm up to triple digits now, and it's like, okay, I'm playing. I got to have somebody. I have to have a player I can put in the lineup. So.
Yep. I hear what you're saying. The only problem I got in DL2 is I'd have to cut CJ Edwards, and I'm not prepared to do that. I don't think, Rich.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up another middle reliever. I need. It's a holds league, and I need some holds. I need something. I mean, I can't have it that. When you're competing, you can't have that roster spot. You just can't. And, I got to make a move.
Well, I take my hat off to you, and good luck with it.
Yeah, we'll see how much he goes for. The great Tim McLeod picks him up next week, and then he turns back into Greg Holland. That'll be probably very painful. Timmy, when we get back, we're going to hit your waiver wire.
Sounds good, Rich.
Another remarkable waiver wire article by Tim. It's just fantastic. Everybody, do what I'm doing. You go to the fantasy tag in Prospect 361. You hover over 2018 waiver wire, and there it is, week number 10. Tim, we're in two digits already. And it's just a great list with Jose Alvarado at the top of the list. Timmy, we've talked about it. You are all in on him. Getting the closing opportunities, whatever closing opportunities there will be in Tampa Bay.
Well, Colome found a way to post pretty good numbers in the saves total. So I just can't see Romo doing it. Roe, I don't think, is the guy. If Alvarado, I think, will be given every opportunity to hold that job. And you're right. I'm all in.
Adbert Alzolay, Timmy, young pitcher with the Cubs, with Darvish going down, he gets the chance. I got a chance to see Alzolay pitch sometime last year. I immediately added him to all the dynasty leagues that I could, where we were still eligible to pick up pitchers. So I do owe him a couple of leagues. Hasn't had a very good season this year, but has really good stuff. An electric arm, not a big guy, but he is the best pitching prospect in the Cubs organization. I think it's a great call out here. I don't know how he'll do just because he's not been good this year, but I love the arm.
Well, yeah, I don't even know if the Cubs will call him up. I don't think they've announced anything thus far, but they got to get somebody in there. And if you look at the arms that they've got at AAA, they don't have much. They don't have much at AAA at all, Rich. So I just toss the name out there as a pure spec. Hey, who knows what they're going to do? But they have to do something.
It's been rumored, Timmy. There's been discussion in the ranks, if you will, talking to my contacts. They've been talking,
right.
is Adbert ready? And we'll see, Timmy. Your next guy is Shane Bieber. You love him. He is the Bieber fever. I still think it's Bieber fever, but you got Bieber fever. We'll see if he gets caught up. Usually, they usually hold their guys down till after that Super 2 status, Timmy. So we're still talking a couple, 3 weeks away from when he gets maybe officially called up.
Yeah, he's just having such an amazing year. At some point in time, we're going to see him. And if you can buy in cheap now, just go ahead. With everything he's done this year, to go out and toss 7 perfect innings in that rain short, that was just the creme de la creme. The kid's ready.
Socrates Brito, Timmy, I mean, if he can hit above 213, I guess they should give him more playing time. Look, he's had his chance. He could be a decent player. He's got some tools, but we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to get the opportunity. Whether he converts on it, only time will tell.
Introduce us to Jace Fry, Tim.
Well, you know, he's a 24-year-old kid, relief pitcher. They called him up a while back, and you know, Nate Jones looks to have a bit of a grip on the closer situation, but Fry has really been pitching well, like really well. And Chicago actually turned to him in a save opportunity, and he converted it. But, you know, we're talking 10 innings, 12 strikeouts. He hasn't been scored upon yet, only 2 hits, 3 walks. If you're looking in deeper leagues and holds leagues, keep your eye on Jace Fry. I really think the kid's got potential. And Nate Jones, has he ever held the job? Not to my recollection.
No, Timmy, we've been talking about Nate Jones since 1934, and he is yet to hold the job. I don't know where I picked up night. Why did 1934 jump into my head? I need to go back in history and figure out something significant. Wasn't that the Nazi regime going on at that time?
Yeah, the world was changing and not in a good way. That is correct.
No, not in a good way. Brandon Dixon, Timmy. 16 home runs, 18 stolen bases in Triple-A. He's done it second year in a row. A lot of people don't know about this guy. I think he made my top 10 in Cincinnati. I'm not sure. I know I thought about putting him in. He's overdone what everybody thought when he was drafted, what he could do. But, Timmy, he's doing it at the highest level now.
Well, yeah. Cincinnati gave him a call. They sent down Herrera. And, you know, in NL-only deep formats, hey, anytime a guy can hit for power and steal a few bases, it automatically gets my attention. So, Brandon Dixon, congratulations. You got my attention.
Ronald Guzman, Timmy, you mentioned him back in week 4. He's starting to hit with power. 6'6", guys. He's a big, strong kid. I'm not surprised he's on this list. Gorkys Hernandez. Timmy, we've been waiting for Gorkys Hernandez to do something. I know I drafted him in 2010 in a dynasty league, and I've kind of given up on him. And every time I see what he's doing with Alan Hansen out, and then I'm upset now because I'm an Alan Hansen owner. Is Alan Hansen going to get a chance when he comes back from injury? Help me sort out that. Who gets the job when Hansen comes back? Is it Gorkys Hernandez? Is it Mac Williamson? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, you know, if you're looking at center field, Joe Panik's going to be back, so that's going to limit Hansen's opportunities. And I think as long as Hernandez continues to play well, it's also going to limit Alan Hansen's opportunities in center field. Now, do I think what Hernandez is doing right now is sustainable? No, but I think you might have to exercise a little bit of patience because Bochy will go to Hernandez if he's hitting the way he has been the past week, and Alan Hansen will be super utility with a serious cutback in his at-bats. And that's a shame, but what's Bochy going to do? Hernandez is hitting. Panic's a guy at second base. Unfortunately, Alan Hansen could be Wally Pipped.
It's a shame, Tim. He got injured at the wrong time. He's playing really well as well. And what about, how does Mac Williamson fit in all that?
He's a left fielder. I think we're looking at Hernandez in center field.
Yeah, I know. I was just wondering, do you think he continues to get the playing time? He was playing very well before he went out with a concussion, I believe. So, finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I think Williamson's going to play full time until he isn't capable of playing full time. And I think the bat is good enough that he'll own that job for the balance of the year.
Jared Hughes, Timmy, he's been pretty remarkable. Rossy Iglesias goes down. We don't know how long he's going to be down. He seems a logical guy, even though they've got some other guys that maybe are ahead of him on the pecking order. He seems a logical guy to get the ninth inning gig.
Yeah, I think he's up to 3 saves now, and he's the guy they're turning to. The only question with Hughes is how long is Iglesias going to be out? Did you hear any information on that injury? It sort of puzzles me because Iglesias is a right-handed pitcher, and he's out with a strained left biceps.
It's his non-throwing elbow, Timmy. I don't know. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, like being an Iglesias owner, I'm of the mindset, like, just tape that sucker down and just keep pitching, right?
Yeah, I think it was, I forgot who had Tommy John surgery recently. I think it was Gleyber Torres. He was this non-throwing elbow that he wound up having to have Tommy John surgery. I mean, he was able to come back more quickly because it was his non-throwing elbow. But, it, you know, weird stuff like that does definitely happen.
Yep, definitely. I just found it very bizarre.
Danny Jansen, Timmy, the catcher in Toronto. This is an interesting one to throw out there. Is this more for dynasty leagues, or do you think he'll be up in 2018?
I think he's a definite own in dynasty leagues. If he's not owned, go get him. This year, I think we're going to see him this year. You know, Russell Martin's been playing third base, shortstop. Luke Maley, I don't believe in as a backup catcher. So I think at some point in the second half, we see Danny Jansen up to get a little bit of to get his feet wet. And I think heading into next year, he will break camp with the Jays and or be up in the middle of April and slowly but surely work his way into the full-time role.
Steven Matz, I mean, has been dropped in a lot of leagues. I mean, as a kid, he's got a great arm, but just cannot stay healthy. Are you suggesting now that he will stay healthy?
Well, I'm suggesting right now he is. And while he is, take advantage of it. I'm not going to make any prognostications when the Mets medical staff is involved and Steven Matz with his history. But, you know, he's pitching really well right now, and he's owned in less than half the leagues at CBS. So I think there's an opportunity, at least short-term, to take advantage of that.
Tanner Megna, Timmy makes the list again. We talked about him already. Richard Rodriguez. Why should fantasy owners go pick up Richard Rodriguez when Felipe Vasquez is as good as he is?
Well, 31 strikeouts and 19 in the third innings should have your attention. And apparently Vasquez came up with an arm injury today. I haven't seen any firm details, any prognostications on potential time miss, but I believe it was a forearm strain, they're saying, for Vasquez. So Rodriguez and, oh, is it Feliz? Not Feliz. Maybe it is Feliz. The Houston reliever they picked up. If Vasquez is to be out, there's going to be an opportunity in Pittsburgh quickly.
Yeah. Very good call from the great Tim McLeod. Tyler Cedeno and Eric Swanson finish up the list. Maybe we got Bradley Zimmer there as well. Tell me, give me a snapshot of Eric Swanson, Timmy. Why should fantasy owners be picking him up?
Well, he's been pitching lights out, and Chance Adams is struggling. Sheffield's just coming back off a DL stint dealing with shoulder tightness. Swanson has been pitching really, really well. Have you had an opportunity to see him in the past, Rich?
I have, Timmy. I don't think a lot of them. I mean, he's okay stuff. He can pitch well. I mean, he's got some good pitch sequencing of his pitches. But I mean, the stuff is not elite. I was never a big Chance Adams fan. I mean, I took a beating for that. Everybody said he was going to be the next great Yankee. Didn't see that. Justin Sheffield, I think, is. I think he's a good arm, even though he's not a big guy. I think that's the elite guy out of the three. So, but you know, it's an interesting call. I mean, I was not a huge fan of Eric Swanson. I know why he's on this list. I mean, I get the logic.
Well, yeah, you know, if you're playing in really deep AL only or dynasty type leagues, he's really pitching well. And if by chance the Yankees do need a starter, Domingo Germán has not looked really, really good. Right now, I think he would be the call-up should the Yankees need to grab somebody short-term for that rotation.
Yeah, a lot of times those Yankee guys come up to me in the first couple of starts, they do really, really well. It's just offered Hermine, you know, and I don't know if it's the mystique of pitching with the New York Yankees, but it happens way too often with both bats and arms, and guys come up really frequently and pitch and play very, very well, and then all of a sudden become who they are again. But so it can happen anywhere.
Yeah, I sort of have to chuckle because Bradley Zimmer had himself a good day in his first rehab start, 1-for-3, stole a base. But my last line, Greg Allen and Roger Davis are not the answer in center field for the Tribe. And sure enough, as I put that
walk
down
off
on paper, yep, walk off home run for Greg Allen. Thank you very much.
No, Timmy, that's what happens when you're a writer. If all you did was the podcast, then we could edit it. We can't really do that. It stuck out in forever that you made the comment. Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Greg Allen isn't the answer, and he's proved it over
He really isn't. Nah. What walk off home run aside.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, the word irony enters into the equation, right?
So, Timmy, let's do two-star pitchers. We'll do a very abbreviated version of that, since it's 11:20 here, and I'm kind of getting a little zonked here. So, let's just pick three guys. Your buddy Eric Lauer with the San Diego Padres, home against Miami. I like that. Home against Cincinnati and Matt Harvey. You kind of like that. You hate what he's done in the last three starts, a 7.62 ERA. He's won. Annabelle Sanchez, home against the Mets and the aforementioned Steven Matz, home against the Washington Nationals and Jeremy Hellickson. You like what he's done in the last three outings, 1-0, 1.64 ERA. He's a guy. Or you've got Homer Bailey. Homer Bailey, 1-1, 7.98 ERA in the last three starts. Been brutal, but at Arizona, the struggling Diamondbacks at home in the Humidor, and at San Diego and Tyson Ross. Timmy, order those guys. Eric Lauer, Homer Bailey, or Annabelle Sanchez. Which would you like to have first, second, and then third?
I'm going to go yes, no, no. Lauer at first, and the other two at no. Don't want to have them at all.
Yeah, Homer Bailey's some brutal. We thought he'd be a little bit of a sneaky sleeper this year. It has not been the case.
No, it definitely hasn't. And, you know, for all the talk about Matt Harvey resurrecting his game, he had a pretty rough outing the last one, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm not sold on Matt Harvey returning to form. I wasn't when the deal was made, and I'm holding my ground on that one, Rich.
Yeah, but Homer Bailey, remember, Timmy, before he went down for Tommy John surgery, he was one of the better young pitchers coming around, really forming in the shape. He just has not recovered after that surgery.
No, he hasn't. As a matter of fact, I think this might be his second Tommy John, but he's actually got two no-hitters under his belt. That's some impressive, Rich. It really is.
Yep.
He was a good pitcher.
The last guy on this list, Timmy, and I'm supposed to know all this, and I do not. I do not know who Austin Bibbins Dirk is. I do not know who this guy is.
Yeah, I've seen the name and line scores, but I don't know much about him either. But you know what? He's pitching up against Felix Hernandez, so he's got a shot.
He got a shot. He's with Texas, Timmy. I don't know who he is. That's got a cool name, but Bibbins Dirks, D-I-R-K-X. Anybody's got an X at their last. That's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, when I see his name, I think of Dirks Bentley.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of thought this. I was thinking the same thing when I saw that. I was like, wow, that's kind of that's an interesting name. Where have I heard that name before? That was a name that came to me. So, Timmy, great show. We did a little late, started here at 10 o'clock. I don't know, it's a little too late for me, but thought it was a really good show.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I think we covered a lot of ground. And, yeah, I like that 8 o'clock start time myself, because now I've got 35 minutes to figure out how I'm going to get my last waiver picks in for the day. And it'll probably take me all 35 minutes of it to sort out my walking wounded in labor and get my picks in.
Well, terrific, Timmy. Next Sunday, Timmy, we will not be on because I've got family in town. Does Monday grab you? Can we do Monday at 8 o'clock your time, 9 o'clock my time?
Let me check my busy schedule, Rich. Yeah, okay, that works.
Okay. So, everybody, I apologize. We will definitely have the waiver wire out on Sunday night, but we will not be talking about this and other topics until Monday. It'll be fun, Timmy, because Monday the 6th is the beginning of the MLB draft. So we'll have the first round, at least first several picks underneath of us. So we'll be able to talk about some of those players as well. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's hard to beat on a hot day sitting back and drinking draft.
Indeed, Timmy. And with that awful pun, we will call it quits. Timmy, have a great week.
You too, Rich. Be well, my friend.
Bye now.